turning to Nikola Tesla, our reading of Margaret Cheney's Tesla, Man Out of Time, as we read about his life after returning from Colorado in 1900. We should consider what it would mean for the power guys of his time, folks like J.P. Morgan and the heads of state he appealed to for support when World War I loomed, support in scaling up his particle beam weapon, EMF weapon, in order to put a fast end to conflict through its awe-inspiring, if awful, demonstration of unassailable force. What would go through the minds of those who lust for power untouchable to learn of Nikola's invention? Think of what the current bunch would do, and you know what they did. Continuing with chapter 15 and concluding chapter 15, Magnificent and Doomed. A great disappointment to Tesla was the government's continuing failure to order his radio control devices for coastal defense. And recall, this is 1901. Anyway, when Congress passed a Coast Defense and Fortification Bill providing $7.5 million, he wrote Johnson that perhaps $500,000 would be invested in teleautomatons for your friend Nikola, and that the rest undoubtedly would find its way into the hands and pockets of the politicians. Even this note of cynicism betrayed unwarranted optimism. He soon had cause for bitterness. As the year 1901 drew to a close, the world press blazoned the news that Marconi, on December 12th, had signaled the letter S across the Atlantic Ocean from Cornwall to Newfoundland. What astonished Morgan and many others was that he had done it without anything like the great plant that Tesla was building. They doubtless, and my comment, now, of course, that we have more knowledge about the global scheming of the power guys, how they have been busily creating the hidden shadow state through the crafting of layers upon layers of double-dealing fake, it's obvious that Margaret needed an underground vault full of doubts, needed a whole new lens to see the backhand dealing of the global shadow statesman. Continuing, while they, with Margaret, they doubtless did not know that Marconi had utilized, i.e. violated, Tesla's fundamental radio patent number 645576, filed in 1897 and issued March 20th, 1900. Small wonder that Tesla began to refer bitterly to the Borgia-Medici methods. Got it in one, Nikola. The Borgia-Medici methods by which he was deprived of credit and fortune. But radio technology was then a mystery to most scientists, let alone the average investment banker. Angry though he was, Tesla wasted no time on sour grapes, but kept his eyes on the magnificent obsession rising from the farming land of Long Island. At first, he nursed it along from a private home near the construction site. When Scherf moved from Manhattan to expedite the work, Tesla returned to his stylish retreat at the Waldorf Astoria to keep a finger on the pulse of Wall Street. Each day, he and Scherf exchanged several wires and letters. And since Wardenclyffe was only an hour and a half from New York by train, at least once a week, the inventor, elegantly attired down to his gray spats and accompanied by a Serbian manservant bearing an immense hamper of food, entrained for Long Island. He worried constantly about security. Across the Sound, residents of New Haven watched in fascination as the octagonal tower rose like a mushroom grower's fantasy above the tree line of the North Shore. As for the townspeople in nearby Shoreham, they believed themselves to be on the brink of fame and industrial prosperity. And that concludes chapter 15. Beginning chapter 16, ridiculed, condemned, combated. As the Wonder Tower lifted its airy spars ever higher, Tesla drove himself and a large staff without mercy. He sent money to Germany for radio engineer Fritz Lowenstein's return, and the latter soon joined the Wardenclyffe team. Another well-known engineer, H. Otis Pond, who had worked for Edison, helped build the laboratory. Years later, Pond was to say, and this was in the Seattle Sunday Times of July 1972, that he disagreed with history's assessment of the two inventors. Edison, he said, was the greatest experimenter and researcher this country has produced, but I wouldn't rate him as much of an originator, he said. Tesla, however, he considered, quote, the greatest inventive genius of all time, unquote. And my comment, and yet we know almost nothing about him. School children are yet taught that Marconi invented the radio, despite Nikola taking his case to correct this lie to the Supreme Court and winning. This obvious suppression tells us all we need to know to prove that we live in a global totalitarian system. I'm curious what children in other nations are taught about Nikola Tesla. What do their school books say? Next week, we'll continue our reading of chapter 16, Ridiculed, Condemned, Combated, in Margaret Cheney's Tesla, Man Out of Time. And thank you for bearing with me going over a bit. Apologies if you were hoping for more Proudhon, me too. Events overtook me this week, as they do seem to do every week. I'm so grateful for you. And I'm so looking forward to when I can actually see what I'm feeling is happening. I hope you are as well. Until next week, thank you. Stay strong. I love you. Oh, our outro song. I didn't get a chance to sort of, what's the right word? I didn't get a chance to write a segue from our text into it. Though I have one, I just don't have the ability right now to put unscripted sentences together. So you're just gonna have to hear it without any advance preparation. This is a song from the CD Planet Earth, and hope you like it. It's called Guitar. Until next week, peace.
get too far. I love you, baby. Just not like I love my guitar. But not like I love this guitar.